passionately proclaiming uncompromising truth. That's what Dr. Michael Youssef does each week on Leading the Way. And now you can listen right here on Radio Sandy Springs. Join Dr. Youssef for profound teaching and insight into the worldwide ministry of Leading the Way. You'll also hear accounts of how the gospel message is reaching some of the darkest areas of the world. So join us for Leading the Way.
This is Michael Gannot with the Middle East Research Center Limited, bringing you insight to Israel, the truth about the greatness of the Jewish state and its struggle for sovereignty and security, every Sunday at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
This is Michael Gannot with Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes, brought to you by America's Web Radio. And I want to start off, as I always do, showing my gratitude to the guys at America's Web Radio who bring the truth about the Jewish state to the grassroots of the United States. The truth about Israel as this little strip of land, David, is number one in technology, agriculture, and medicine, and the vast amounts of humanitarian work that the Jewish people do around the world. It is amazing. So thank you. Thank you. 2 years. David, Insight to Israel has been on the air for over 2 years. I've got a good friend of mine who was on the radio show actually a year ago, and I will say I was wearing the same exact shirt. I was reflecting on the picture. David, help me out. David, and I see you as my friend, and I can't even pronounce your last name right.
David Nekratman.
David Nekratman. David, it's good to see you again, brother. I enjoyed the past hour conversation with you. Catching up, man. It's amazing. Anyway, so 2 years on the air, in the top 20% out of 26,000 radio shows heard in the United States, in Canada, in Europe, Australia, and in the Jewish state.
That's great.
Wow.
That's amazing.
You know how many hours of marketing I've done sitting, blah, 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 posting stuff and emails and using all the social media and pumping and priming and it's... But I'll tell you what, brother. I'm going to share... This is why Americans need to support Insight to Israel and also send an email of thanks to the guys at America's Web Radio. David, I was in the central bus station in Jerusalem 2 days ago. And I'm out of Hershey's for Heroes, which is a rarity. I literally get thousands of Hershey's chocolate bars. Thousands. Can you imagine going to the mail and getting 1,000 chocolate bars in the mail?
Nope.
I lived in the United States. I go to the mail and I get bills. I come to the Jewish state. I go to the mail. I get chocolate. So I got a big shipment coming to me, but I ran out because I go to the bases and I just hand them out like candy. So, but I never fail. I can't go without it. When I see a soldier, I have to stop because I know what they're up against. I know what the world says about them. You know.
Yes.
And I said to this girl sitting on a bench, a soldier in the bus station, thank you. I say, shlicha, excuse me. And I'm like, tada, thank you. And they're like, maze, lama.
What's this?
Ken.
Why are you doing it?
Thank you for defending the Jewish state. Thank you for your service to the country. David, the look on their face of first wonderment and then gratitude is life-altering, I have to say. So I just so happened, I was sitting next to the soldier that was sitting next to this girl. The girl looked at me and she said, Michael? And I was like, yes, ma'am. About 22, 23. And she goes, Michael Gannot, Hershey's for Heroes and Insight to Israel? I said, yeah. Do I know you? And she goes, you don't know me. She said, but I've been following your work for over a year now. And you have a name. I'm from Great Neck, New York. She said, your name in my Jewish community is known all over. David, I was shocked. And I said, really? She goes, you don't know this, because I never comment on your page, but my family follows your page. I said, you're kidding me. She goes, no, and I want to say thank you for your first taking a stand with the Jewish people. David, I stood there and I cried. I said, are you serious? Really? Is that you? She goes, Michael, we love what you're doing. And I'll tell you what, man, that, you know, people don't always, I don't feel the need to air whatever I'm going through. My life is an open book here. Everything I do, I always said, if someone wanted to track me down, all they had to do was watch Facebook and see the timestamp and the area that I'm in.
Right.
And I told her, I said, you know what, people, and I did a video, because she was shy. She's like, I said, no, Americans need to see. I need you to be that voice to tell Americans why, to show them why they need to support Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes. So we did this video, and I'll tell you what, man, I said, you know what, people don't always see when I'm going through a tough time. I don't feel the need to air it. There's more good times than there are bad, that's for sure. But I said, just the simple fact that, because she, you know what she told me? She goes, I recognized your voice when you told that soldier, thank you. And I said, that, what you're telling me is encouragement to me. And I'm going to tell you what, brother.
But God provided you the encouragement you needed.
Wow.
At the time that you needed it.
Wow. Amen.
Amen.
Folks, I want to say you need to support Insight to Israel. We have taken you on the front lines of war. We have been with this country in funerals for soldiers, unfortunately, and yet shown the unity in this country in the hospitals of Be'er Sheva during the last operation, Sukhothai Protective Edge. It's amazing. Your people are amazing, David.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Appreciate it.
You wouldn't have 5,000 people show up for a funeral of an American soldier.
It's one big family.
It is.
It's one big family.
And you know what? The way people have treated me here, David, has changed my life.
I'm happy.
It's changed my life. Folks, you need to support Insight to Israel. Now to Hershey's for Heroes, I want to say thank you to everyone who is a participator and not a spectator in sending Hershey's for Heroes. If you don't know what Hershey's for Heroes is, you need to go Google or Facebook Hershey's for Heroes. Americans are sending literally thousands of chocolate bars with notes on them to the soldiers. We love you. We pray for you. We stand with you. And last year, we handed out over 4,000 chocolate bars to soldiers. We get invited to bases to talk to the soldiers from a non-Jewish American perspective of why this country, not even one rock, should be given to the Muslims. This is not about land. This is not about Palestinians or Hamas. This is about two things: Islamic global takeover and Jewish presence. After 2,000 years of no homeland and always a Jewish presence that has existed, I had actually had this Jewish girl that's a friend of mine, Israeli Jewish. She said, I don't believe in God. I said, really? I said, well, then you got no right to live here. And everything that you believe about your people is a lie. So how can you? Well, I believe in my people, but I don't believe in God because why was the Holocaust? I said, you know what? The Holocaust was for two reasons. Number one, I believe, if I understand it, and David, you can correct me since you're the rabbi.
Okay.
There were rabbis that warned.
And yes, there were people who warned about the impending Holocaust.
And also common sense kind of, if you're speaking out against Jews, I think common sense tells you, I think it's time to leave.
Yeah, but there was this, never the notion that the Holocaust would be the way it would be, and there would always be this hopeful ending at the end. And no one thought a civil society like Germany would turn the way it did during World War II.
Absolutely. And the third thing is God. Men were not, who said they were godly, did not take a stand against the unrighteousness that was persecuting in many, many instances. The United States, we turned Jews away. Now, we in the end, so there's a lot of different varying reasons as to why the Holocaust, it should have never happened. But at the end of the day, we need to learn from history. You know, there's nothing we can do about the past. We can only learn from it. We can't change the past. But with that being said, that same thing is, we're seeing this on a greater scale in Europe right now.
Well, I would say the Holocaust is not about a war against the Jews. It was a war against God. And that,
wow.
And God gets blamed for a lot of human action.
Wow. So. Say it again. Could you say it just a little louder?
I could say a little bit louder.
That was like a buffet of truth you just spoke. Right.
The Holocaust wasn't a war against the Jews. It was a war against God. And God gets blamed a lot for human action. Again, we can't understand the mysterious ways of why a Holocaust was there. And sometimes we always ask in Judaism, why didn't God intervene? The question really comes up is, why didn't humanity intervene?
Right, absolutely.
And you can't blame free choice on God. God gave us the free choice, even the choice to deny who God is.
Right.
Deny the godliness and humanity that he created in us when he first created the first human being.
Right.
That is, in essence, the problem that happened in the Holocaust. So, if you look at all the actions of people, they had the choice to go ahead and help, but did not.
Right.
And they can blame whatever they want, but at the end of the day, for us, at the end of the day, God's faithful word of his covenant relationship to his people still stands. We thought, the world thought, that human history was closed, that Jewish history was closed after the Holocaust. No one thought we would come back. We were a fossilized religion, and everyone gave up on us. And then 3 years later, the resurrection of the Jewish people happens. And here we are, almost seven decades in.
Wow.
And we're a flourishing country again. So whatever the issues that we have theologically with the Holocaust, first one has to examine the deeds of people.
Right.
Before they go ahead and question the sovereignty of God's wisdom.
Wow. 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 If I wasn't too busy saying wow, I would have choked on that.
Okay.
That was so much truth. That was like a furball of truth. You know what I mean?
A furball. Okay.
So I want to say thank you to everyone who gives to Hershey's for Heroes. I need you to go to Facebook and go to the About section and send me. Get your church, your synagogue, your civic group, your friends, your family involved. You say you stand by Israel. You send your money to all these big organizations, and God bless you. But why not in a
chocolate bar?
And a cost? Yeah, what does that cost?
Less than a dollar.
Less than a dollar. And you, all you have to do is put a note on there and mail it to me.
That's it.
I'm not asking anybody. I'm asking you for chocolate.
Not even a Starbucks coffee.
Exactly, and they're overrated big time. So get involved with Hershey's for Heroes. I'm telling you, when you look at that Facebook page, it will change your life. David, there are people that are seeing their chocolate bar in the hands of a soldier and connecting with that soldier now on Facebook and through emails, and now sending care packages to that specific soldier. I'm going to tell you what, brother. I cannot take credit for Hershey's for Heroes.
It's a God thing.
Exactly, exactly. Did you know Milton Hershey was a Jew?
Yes.
You did. You're the first one. Because a lot of folks don't know the history, but that's another thing. You should look it up. Do the research yourself. Thank you to everyone who gives to Hershey's for Heroes. Now we're getting in the summer. We're coming into the spring.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more traveling that we'll be able to do, and not that we've ever been hindered from traveling, but... But things change with the warmer weather.
Correct.
And I've never been worried about chocolate bars melting. So we need to hit every base, starting with this spring until whenever. We got a lot of soldiers.
That's correct.
And we got some new ones coming up this late in the summer.
There's always a change of people coming in and going out.
Absolutely. So thank you for giving to Hershey's for Heroes. Moving forward, David, it is another beautiful day in the Jewish state.
Always.
We are in the coastal town.
It just happens to be sunny today, but whenever. it rains is also a beautiful day.
Absolutely.
That's raining blessings.
David,
that we need.
We're in your hometown of Netanya.
That is correct.
How do you like living here, David?
I love living in Netanya. This is where my wife is from, Helene. And I moved. I'm the first of my family to move back home to Israel. I'm originally a fourth, fifth generation New Yorker. My ancestors come from Russia or Germany or Poland. Never did they think of in their lifetime that there would be an Israel. And yeah. Israel has happened in my lifetime.
Wow.
The best thing I could do for my people is to make Aliyah, and I did that almost 10 years ago.
Amazing. So, okay, you were on the radio show, like I said, a year ago. We met through Jonathan Feldstein from McGee to Be the Dome.
That's correct.
And we have you back because you shared some things with me. By the way, let me say this. I've thoroughly enjoyed sitting here before we went on the air. And, wow, it's been a while since I've had a good theological discussion.
Me too.
Wow, that's great stuff. I wish some of my buddies could have been here for that from school. But, David, I want to start and just real quick give a little bit of background because you're actually attending online and on the campus ORU, Oral Roberts University.
Correct. I'm the first Orthodox Jew to be accepted in a spirit-filled university.
And let me stop. I'm going to stop you there because Mother Gano's listening.
Okay.
I'd stated when in our conversation to you that I don't hear the word spirit-filled much out of
Jewish mouths.
Right. Okay. Never have I heard it. Right. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just new to me. It's like, it's new to me.
All right, so I'm the expert in Jewish spirit-filled Christian relations.
I like your confidence there. I'm the expert.
Indeed I am. I spent 14 years of my life as an Orthodox Jew to build bridges between various different communities in the Christian world, but more specifically in the spirit-filled world. I see that most of Christian Zionism today, or support for Israel from the Christian world, comes from people who have entered into the spirit-filled world.
Evangelical.
In the evangelical, but again, yeah, it's not always evangelical. You know, you can have a charismatic Catholic.
Right.
There are different denominations that are what they would say spirit-filled within
right.
their denomination.
And so, a lot of them, if I can make a side note, Pentecostal.
Many of them are Pentecostal, right. So I would, and even Baptocostal.
I've heard that too. Yeah.
And there's never really been an understanding on the Jewish side on how to really interact with this particular movement in Christianity, which is relatively new on the scene of Christianity.
Yeah.
And I believe a remnant within spiritual Christianity has this calling to stand with Israel, but the Jewish people lack the communication skills to properly engage to build up this alliance
right.
between Jews and Christians. This doesn't take away from any other Jewish-Christian relational support.
Right.
But if you're going to engage, you should really try to understand the other. And for 14 years, I have dedicated my calling in life to understanding the spirit-filled world. And part of that calling included going to Oral Roberts University. Mark Rutland, the former president of Oral Roberts University, along with Dr. Brad Young, who actually teaches at Oral Roberts University, their confidence in what the work that we do at the Center for Jewish-Christian Understanding and Cooperation in Israel under the auspices of Rabbi Shlomo Riskin, their faith in that project and advancing this relationship led to me being the first Orthodox Jew to be accepted to a theological program.
Wow.
And my thesis will be on the Hebraic roots of the Holy Spirit. Still working that out, so we're not here to discuss
right.
that particular
right.
conversation until I get through my master's. And then
we'll have you back on the show.
Hopefully
we can get a graduation.
Right, yeah, right. No, but it's important to understand because when Christians ask me, what do you think about the Holy Spirit? I mean, Jews don't have a Trinitarian understanding
right.
of God, and therefore the Holy Spirit is not a question we would normally tackle,
right.
and therefore we don't necessarily know how to answer for a Christian who looks at understanding of a God through a Trinitarian belief system. There's no systematized understanding of the Holy Spirit pre-Pentecost
wow. yeah.
from a Jewish perspective.
Amazing.
So part of the journey that I'm doing is I believe that the Holy Spirit discussion can be a springboard to making this relationship more have more meat and potatoes than
right.
it normally has. Because Israel celebratory events are really important. It shows that we're not alone. It shows that there's a group of people out there willing to stand with Israel. But what's the next step? What's the deepening of Genesis 12:3?
Yeah.
What's the deepening of this relationship?
Wow.
And this is where the center comes in and provides that platform of understanding between these two faith communities. So that's been my whole entire sacred calling for 14 years, and I'm so full of gratitude for the theology department at Loyal Roberts University for allowing a Jew like me to have this experience. And it's opened more doors than I've ever had before in order to build a relationship quicker. Things are happening very quick here in Israel.
Right. Oh my gosh.
It's accelerated to unprecedented proportions. The relationship is vital more than ever.
Right.
But I think it's more than just the support of Israel. If you really believe in Jewish-Christian relations, the relationship in and of itself is valid. Whether or not we have an external enemy that's common to both of us. I believe that if you really look at, you know, the relationship between Jews and Christians today, if we both believe we're covenanted communities and we both are coming out from the source of the Bible, then we need to have an unprecedented discussion of what this all means, the differences, and the commonalities.
Right.
Once you have that discussion, you will find out whatever that seems to be the elephant in the room, that tremendous gap between both of us is really a small, thin line. Important, understanding there are differences, but there's got to be a point where humanity says this is all a mystery. The Jewish-Christian relationship is a mystery. God will work it out in His own time. Our job is to work with each other now.
Okay. Wow. David, you know, and I don't... there are people that email me and say... Because I would never paint a falsehood or an image that isn't there. But I get emails, David, from people all the time. And usually I understand their motive in the people in the States. And they're like, you think Israel's perfect? And I'm like, no, this country's not perfect. But they get enough of a bad rap, you know, and a bunch of lies told about them, that people need to see the emphasis on the amazing things overall. You have your own internal problems. Everybody has those. But people need to see the fingerprint throughout history of the Jewish people in every aspect of our lives. From the Constitution, my sister actually asked my mother this. What did the Jewish people have to do with the Constitution? I was shocked. I was like, come on. And so my mother explained to her, which my sister should listen to my radio show, but I still love her, always will. And she's a great mother and a great lady, but if it had not been for Hashem giving you Torah, I wouldn't have a Constitution and Bill of Rights. Like, that's, like, when I really sat and thought about that, I'm like, my gosh, goodness, I owe some people, while I live in this life, I owe someone a big debt, not just God. I always owe God. But this life is fleeting, it's like a breath. And while I'm still breathing, and until that last breath comes, I owe the Jewish people for my freedom. So with that being said, it's amazing to hear you say this, because it's not something, there's some folks that would strongly now we have replacement theology.
Correct.
That has come about. It's a big controversy right now. I'm getting pastors of churches in the United States that I'm associated with, and they're calling me and saying, Michael, we have to stand beside the Jewish people.
Well, it's very basic. If God doesn't keep His word with the Jewish people, how can He keep your word
right.
with the Christian people?
And
that comes very basic. If God isn't a covenantal God, that means His promises is as valid as today for me as it is for you.
Right.
And that should be the basic understanding. We have not been replaced. The fact is, we have returned back to our country despite what people have said that the reason why we were thrown out of the land of Israel is because of the rejection of Jesus, divine and Savior, and we would never get back to our land, and we would experience eternal hell. Well, we're back in our land.
By prophecy in Isaiah.
Everything has been done by biblical prophecy, so we're here. So to me, this becomes sort of the transition of what we're talking about right now, is that the center, based upon Psalm 117, has taken on its mandate, the Center for Jewish Christian Understanding and Cooperation, under the auspices of Rabbi Shlomo Rosenberg. We're saying now to the Christian people, Israel's Independence Day this year falls out on April 23rd because we Jewish people go according to a lunar calendar.
I love your calendar. That's what we should be going
lunar
by.
Lunar calendar, not solar calendar. Therefore, Israel's Independence Day this year falls out on April 23rd. You should know the last time a sacred holiday was put into the Jewish calendar was 22 centuries ago. With Hanukkah, which is known in the New Testament as the Feast of Dedication.
You mean the Second Covenant?
Well, no, not
that's how I rephrase it now. I think it's an insult
okay.
to say Old Testament. There's nothing old about it. It's fresh and new every day.
But if I just said that, no one would know what I'm talking
about. Right, exactly. Okay. I'm trying to get folks' verbiage switched up. You know?
I would say Tanakh for the Old Testament
right.
and Apostolic Writings for the New Testament. That's the way I would phrase it.
Okay.
But getting back to this is that April 23rd is Israel's Independence Day. And literally 68 years ago, I should say 67 years ago, the chief rabbinate, after the establishment of the State of Israel, decided that they would say Israel's Independence Day is a sacred day in the sacred calendar. That means, what does that mean? We invoke Psalms 113 to 118, which is known as the Hallel Psalms. These Psalms are invoked on the biblical feast, Passover, Pentecost, the Feast of Tabernacles, as well as rabbinic holidays as Hanukkah. We invoke these Psalms on Israel's Independence Day, saying that this miracle of the return of the Jewish people is unprecedented and deserves our praise. This is not a prayer.
Right.
This is a praise that once a year that we should see Israel from a point of praise and not a crisis.
Wow.
We will always be in crisis.
Always.
Okay, God does not promise us a rose garden.
You're a Jew, brother.
Always in crisis. But it's important that one day of the year, corporately, as a people,
wow.
we should go ahead and invoke these psalms, known as the Hallel Psalms, and praise God. So for the last, since the establishment of the State of Israel, until now, the Jewish people have been praying these psalms. We, as the Jewish people, are asking the Christian world, as an invite, say these psalms with us. And we've created this global initiative called Day to Praise. If you want to find out more information, it's daytopraise.com. But this is, we are going to have a Hallel service where we're inviting the local Christian community in praising God on Israel's Independence Day. We did this experiment on the Feast of Tabernacles last year. We had the local Christian community, Bridges for Peace, Christian Friends of Israel, other Christians who love what we're doing as far as the center is concerned.
Right.
We did a Hallel service. We had pastors reciting these psalms in English. We had simple Jewish songs, all related to the liturgy of these psalms. And we said, and I can quote, someone from Bridges for Peace, Cheryl Hauer, said to me, for 25 years, I've been doing Jewish-Christian relations. I've been waiting for this moment where we can do something like this.
Wow.
So I said, if she thinks this is important, and other people are coming up to afterwards, then there's something about these psalms that needs to be shared to the rest of the world.
Absolutely.
That the Jewish community is inviting the Christian community in doing these praise psalms together. I think that's the key. So we're hoping that people will have a heart to do this on April 23rd. Six psalms. One day, doing this with the Jewish people and praising God for the State of Israel, the miracle in our lifetime.
That's amazing. I'm excited to see it, actually. Now, is this going to be...
In Jerusalem.
In Jerusalem.
We're going to do a live stream event.
Okay, because I'm going to be there.
You're going to be there. And we're going to have people from around the world come to this event. But that does not mean that if you can't come, you shouldn't be reciting these psalms.
Absolutely.
The point is that we want people to recite the psalms. And moreover, I never thought I would be involved in worship music. But we felt a calling from God that if we're going to do this, we need to provide a resource and an understanding of what these psalms really mean. You should understand that Jesus...
Hold that thought. We're going to come back in the next segment. It's going by quick. We'll be right back, folks. This is Michael Gano with Insight to Israel. This is Michael Gano with Insight to Israel. Every day, the Israeli Defense Force finds itself on the front line of the war with the militant arm of Islam. Surrounded by enemies from within and without, they fight for the only Jewish state. Military service is mandatory, ladies serving 2 years and men serving 3 right out of high school. While young people in other democracies are busy traveling or attending university, Israeli men and women gear up for basic training. In a world of heads of state, politicians, ambassadors, diplomats, and a leftist media, many times our voice at the grassroots level is drowned out. So we started an ongoing project called Hershey's for Heroes. Patriot conservatives from all over the U.S. are sending Hershey's chocolate bars with a note of thanks for defending Israel. Won't you join us by sending a sweet message to the IDF? For information, please see my Facebook page at Michael Gano. Thank you, God bless Patriot Conservatives, and God bless Israel in her struggle for sovereignty and security.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Historical hidden and reveal record of what the nations were going to do to the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. They themselves know the extent of how it is that we survived. And they themselves can understand the miracle of the Jewish people. I always say the biggest proof of God is the existence of the Jewish people. I don't care about anybody else trying to deny that there's no God.
Right.
No person who's an atheist can really explain the existence of the Jewish people. It's the one thing that stumps them. But for me, the existence of Israel never lies. God is here. And we're back in our land. And it is a mandate from Psalm 117, which is part of the Hallel Psalms of Psalms 113 to 118. This is why we think it is now, more than ever, because Israel is being isolated on the global stage.
Right, right.
Okay, that's a fact. Okay?
Yeah.
There's been this whole focus on our prime minister and his speech at Congress. Imagine a Jewish person from the nation of Israel, the size of New Jersey, and this speech has been looked upon from people from all over the world. If the prime minister made this speech in Israel, no one would have paid attention.
Right, okay? Absolutely.
I believe that the whole controversy that was stirred up from this is the whole purpose to see the world see the dignity of the Jewish people.
Right.
That we are willing to stand on our own. And we invoke this from, and this was very interesting because the prime minister himself invoked the book of Esther. Now, you should just know, the Psalms 113 to 118 is called Hallel. Right? Those are called Hallel Psalms. There's also another Hallel, and that's the book of Esther. This is the only time, this is very interesting, we just celebrated Purim. Actually, in Jerusalem today, as we're recording is actually a celebration of Purim in Jerusalem. Yesterday was for the rest of the people in the land that we celebrated this holiday based upon the book of Esther. But we don't invoke Psalms 113 to 118 because there is an opinion that the book of Esther is the hallel, is the praise for God on this day. So there are, in essence, almost two hallels, the book of Esther and Psalms 113 to 118. So the next time we invoke Psalms 113 to 118 is Passover, and then right afterwards is Israel's independence day. That means right now we're in the sacred season of salvation and redemption. This is an amazing opportunity that if we can say to the world, and those people who really have this sincere heart to pray for Israel, that for one day, 6 psalms is not a big deal. And that you're part of this acknowledgement of the continuing restoration of the Jewish people and the land of Israel. And I was saying before the break.
You're leaving me speechless.
No, but I was saying before the break, I'm saying that in Matthew 26, we know for a fact that the Hallel was recited. It's usually a footnote in your NIV Bibles. But the hymn that he was saying at the Last Supper was Hallel. It was Psalms 113 and 118. But, you know, Jesus was a good Jewish person.
Yeah. Right? No matter how you view him, you got it to get, you know.
He was going ahead and celebrating the Passover night. And part of the liturgy of the Passover evening meal is those Psalms 113 to 118, because it's about the acknowledgement of God's redemptive acts with his people. So imagine that. So what started off during Passover thousands of years ago until now, the tradition is that we always have these days of praise and acknowledgement of God's miracle to corporate Israel.
Wow. And you know what's amazing? You just by stating, bringing that to light about the Last Supper, I wish that not only when I was growing up, and I learned a lot when I was in Bible college, of course, but no one ever took me through, and this is where I'm seeing even more now, even since our last discussion, and just in the few hours that you and I have been sitting and talking, I wish someone would have walked me through when I learned about the second covenant, which I'm changing terminology. I've been trying to do that because we're so conditioned to use words like West Bank, Palestinian, all these things. We're conditioned. And the people that tell the lie are wrong. They win. And I'm saying that from the perspective that I wish someone would have walked me through, not only for my mother, understandably, there's things obviously she wouldn't know, but even in Bible college or seminary, would have said, okay, this is the Jewish tradition, this is Torah, why they're doing the things that they're doing, why is Jesus going into the temple, and explain these little details, exactly what you just said at the Last Supper, because it would have given me a greater understanding of the Jewish people.
Well, there's been a divorce for almost 2,000 years of the church's Jewish roots. Literally, you know, Christianity comes out from the womb of Judaism.
Wow. Say it again.
Christianity comes out from the womb of Judaism.
And we're grafted in, brother. Thank you.
I believe that you are part of the covenantal expression of what we're about.
Wow.
There's been our biggest, and we spoke about this last time, there is a big mystery with Christianity because we have a bad history between the synagogue and the church.
And the Catholic Church has a lot, let me say this, Rome has a lot to do with that.
Of course. And, you know, again, some Protestant
right.
Movements as well. But,
right.
But at the end of the day, you know, there's
Episcopalians.
There's been a, you brought God to the four corners of the world where we were not in a position to do that after Constantine.
Right.
We were ghettoized, we were persecuted, we were not able to go ahead and bring God to the world like we were mandated to in Isaiah.
Right.
You guys did. Christianity was able to do that. There's sort of a debt of gratitude. Despite the history between us, now, I think the greatest...
Modern day.
Of that remnant, and I always say remnant.
That's a beautiful word.
Of Christians who are now understanding there is a Hebraic understanding of their own faith, that they're atoning for the past misdeeds of the church against the Jewish people in the name of Jesus, that they're willing to go ahead and stand in the gap for Israel and pray and sow into charities and help out Israelis. I think there's a new season between both of us that gives us the opportunity to really get to know one another without compromising core theological doctrine. I want you to be a good Christian. And I understand totally why you believe in Jesus as divine and Savior. And I'm never going to rip that apart. I want you to be a good Christian because I believe that you being a good Christian, being faithful to who you are, is part of the whole mystery and this whole divine plan that works itself out. Just like there should be respect for Jewish people who don't believe, but still having that respect that we can work together on the commonalities and understanding the differences. But imagine one day on on Israel's Independence Day, that we believe in Judaism is the first flowering of our redemption. We prayed this as the State of Israel prayer. Father in heaven, Rock and Redeemer of Israel, the State of Israel is the birth pangs of the Messianic era. This is what we pray in our synagogues. Imagine if we could take this day, Israel's Independence Day, and the world can stand and praise God for that miracle.
Wow.
That would be more than anything else, because that's spiritual realm. All the physical stuff, all the material stuff, very important.
Right.
But you can't ignore the spiritual realm.
Right.
We often, we always in Judaism, we talk about tikkun olam, the repairing of the world. But there's a second half to that phrase, Ol Malchut Shemayim, the kingdom of heaven. It's about the kingdom of heaven, of bringing it down here to earth,
right,
and going ahead and moving that kingdom together. And I believe we can, you, Jews and Christians who share in the covenantal expression of that understanding, if we praise God for the miracles that happen to us, gratitude is the best attitude.
Absolutely.
We just did a bump.
Wow.
And bump.
Wow. You know what? You couldn't take all the food in this restaurant that would satisfy me as much as what you're giving us here today. David, wow, this is powerful. You know, we are really going to work hard to promote this. I'm going to actually hook you up with a group called The United West.
Okay.
And I've been on their show a couple times. Actually, you're going to meet Tom Trento. I'm going to introduce you to him. Those guys are amazing.
Okay.
We went up to Shomron together, to Judea and Samaria, and we believe in the sovereignty and security of the Jewish state. And he's actually, I think he's like a PhD in apologetics.
Okay.
I think you would get along with David, Tom Trento, amazingly nice. I'm going to, this weekend, I'm going to do a joint email between you guys, because he needs to be a part of this. And there's a lot of other people that we're going to promote this huge. And along, when you're listening to this radio show, what's the website?
Day2praise.com.
Day2praise.com. And we're going to put this on with all of our information. We're going to send out some emails for you, because I think it's important. It is so important with what you're saying. Wow, this is really, I can't even define the words in the English vernacular, and my Hebrew is not that good anyway.
I'm just serving what God put on my heart. And this happened actually at Oral Roberts University last year on the first day of classes. I was actually on ORU's campus.
What's that been like for you?
It's been amazing, but let me finish the story.
Okay, go ahead.
I'll go back.
Go ahead.
This is how it all came about. The first day of class last year, I get emails and texts, are you okay? And I'm like, okay, of course. I'm at ORU. No, there are rockets going over in Netanya. It's the first day of the war.
Wow.
And I was like very nervous. I call up my wife. I said, where are you? Oh, I'm in Jerusalem. Why are you in Jerusalem? Oh, there's a teacher's conference. My kids are alone in the Tanya for the very first time in their first war experience.
Wow. How old are they?
I have a 14-year-old, a
that's huge.
11, and a 7-year-old.
That's huge.
My wife is in Jerusalem. She can't get back to Netanya because the rockets are going in that direction. And I had this immediate fatherly pull that I got to just drop everything and get on the next plane. And I said to myself, well, wait a sec, I'm here at ORU for a reason. Can't be just, because I have to be at class. I think there's something more to just me being here.
Absolutely.
So I said to myself, if my wife says to me, carte blanche, that I can stay without me convincing her, then I'm going to stay. And I asked my wife. My wife is Israeli. So
she's tough.
She's tough. She's been through all this. For her, this is second nature. As the American recent Israeli.
We're a little limp-wristed.
I'm a little nervous. So
right.
She says, no, stay. Don't worry about it. Everything's going to be fine.
Wow.
So I said, okay.
That is a woman, brother.
That's an
you
affirmation.
You married the right man.
That's an affirmation. And I said, okay, I got to be here for a reason. And you should just know it was a month after Israel's Independence Day. And we recite these Psalms 113 to 118. And I said, why are we reciting these Psalms if we're still in war? What's the whole point if we're doing this, these Psalms? I said, you know what? I think that's the reason why I'm here. I'm going to do a paper on this. And my professor was really gracious for allowing me to do a paper on the Hallel Psalms. And through that, I learned so much. Imagine, in a spirit-filled university, in my research seminar class, I'm going to do a research paper on these Hallel Psalms. So I'm in ORU's library looking at Talmudic sources.
And you're wearing your kippah.
I'm wearing my kippah. But what's amazing, everyone came up to me in ORU and said, I'm praying for you. They all knew. They all know me because I'm the only Jew on campus.
Right.
And it's pretty visible that I am because I'm wearing a kippah. But the support during that time was truly amazing.
Wow.
They were praying every day in morning class.
Wow.
That, you know, Israel should be safe and my family should be safe. It really touched my heart. So this became the, I guess, the road I'm still traveling to figure out. These Psalms have something to do with the relationship between both Jews and Christians, and that's the reason for the Dates of Praise.
That's, wow, I can't...
So this is a God thing. I'm only serving a God thing. This is not my own...
Right, of course.
Mine.
But, you can't look at it any other way.
Yeah.
David, you cannot, and... It's not too many times I'm at a loss for words, man. It's.
But yeah, going back to your question, you wanted to ask how the ORU experience is. I think it's been an amazing experience because the openness for a spirit-filled university to accept an Orthodox Jew like me, who I don't subscribe to the same beliefs as a Christian, but believe in the cause of advancing Jewish-Christian relations is really a testament, no pun intended, but a testament to the courage of the university for believing this and believing what we do as a center.
David, I probably said this already. I'm in such a daze right now because honestly, listening to what you're saying is something that's so new. And I'm telling you, I've got pastor friends in the States that we're in contact. And I've seen more and more of people as people that I went to school with. You know, when I first came here, people were kind of like, I had literally had, of course, these folks aren't, they're not like, they don't obviously view Israel, many of them, from a biblical perspective. They say they do, but there's more to it there. But I literally had bets by people in Washington as to how long I would last here. But I knew when I came here, this wasn't some kind of like in and out thing, you know. But I have pastors contacting me from the States, and they are seeing what is happening in the world. This is why this is amazing what you're doing, because they're like, Michael, we are obligated. We are obligated to stand with Israel at all costs, even if that means, David, even if that means going against the status quo in our own country. Even if that means it might undermine our quote-unquote, and I don't want to get, this is not about politics anymore. This is about principle. This is about biblical principle. This is no longer about a country but a kingdom. And that's what the Christians in the United States had better get in gear. Forget and again, I can be misunderstood. I want to get, people could say this runs into politics, but this is about principle.
But you can't, comfortability is not true faith.
No,
the true test of faith is outside your comfort zone. And obviously, standing with Israel is not the popular thing to do right now.
Right. So, now, among the, let me clarify something. You can stand with Israel, but when you see the culture of a country, again, when I say this is not about a country, this is about a kingdom, many times the American people, the Christians in the United States, we've gotten so focused on the red, white, and blue and grandma and apple pie, and I thank God for all those things, but when your country, your culture, and your government has veered on a different path, then we don't go down that path. we stand still and stand for God first.
Right. So I would tell you that in our prayers for the United States, we always say God should give wise counsel.
Amen.
To the leaders of the United States.
Amen.
It's about wise counsel, not personal gain.
Right.
So we always pray that God should give blessing to the United States, because it was built upon the principle of creating a city on the hill.
Right.
Who knew a couple hundred years later that the real city on the hill would be reestablished?
Exactly, exactly.
But I believe that the reason for the United States' birth, it was to go ahead and provide...
At that moment,
is to provide the remedy that's needed physically here on earth.
Right.
To be an
wow.
agent of God.
Wow.
To help out the true spiritual city of the entire world.
And we're not promised to Americans, not just Americans, but you know, look, there's a lot of folks that don't, they call themselves Christians or whatever, that may be labeled, but they maybe don't. There's a difference between religion and relationship. We've forgotten those terms, too. A lot of people play the religiosity game, and I get that. And I'm not talking about people, you know, there's a difference between a man that's striving for perfection in God and is not perfect, and a man that's religious and is satisfied in his religiosity. It's comfortable, just like it is comfortable to be an American. My point in saying that is that American Christians, we need so desperately. My mother and those women in her prayer group every Tuesday, they go to the courthouse. They pray according to First Covenant, if I can use New Testament, First Covenant commandment to pray for, just like you said, to pray for leadership. And they get down to the courthouse in my hometown, and they pray for leadership. They pray for leadership in the United States, and they pray for Israel. And Americans, Christians, need to get out of this, back into the mindset that this is about the Bible first and everything else second.
Agreed. 100%.
I'm telling you, David, being in this country, after working in politics for 12 years, and I'm a Republican, I'm a conservative, and I forgot, I did have an understanding, yes, of the founding of the country, but I truly forgot what it means to put God and the Bible first ahead of everything else. And I have to admit, I make that an admission. And that's why I'm thankful every day that God brought me to your country and opened my eyes to so many things. And what you're saying here to me is an eye-opener. You want to add something?
I just want to say, like, you and I have a rare opportunity that most people can't experience, that when we wake up in the morning, we wake up into a miracle.
Brother,
it could rain, it could snow, it could be the worst traffic nightmare possible, but I'd rather be in a traffic nightmare in Israel than knowing that, hey, I'm in Israel.
Right.
Folks, I'm in God's country.
If you've never been to this country, if you never get to this country, pray that you do. God will make a way. David, I came here on a $200 ticket. $200 with only $600 in my pocket. But I saw the life of Yonatan Netanyahu, and there were other forces. But the push was the life of Yoni Netanyahu, who sacrificed, the brother of Bibi, who sacrificed his life. Had every reason and excuse not to come back and join the army after he'd already served his time, was 4 years paid for at Harvard, paid for his undergraduate. But he said, I have to come home and fight with my people, stand with them. And I saw that, and I said, God, if you'll get me to Israel, I will stand. I will give my life even, spill my blood for the sovereignty and security of the Jewish state. Folks, if you want to come to Israel, God will get you here.
I think what's amazing, I want to just come off on that. Do you know there's only 80,000 evangelicals that come to Israel from the United States each year? Only 80,000. I just want to understand. There are supposed to be 70 million evangelicals in the United States, and only 80,000.
I kind of laugh at that number a little bit, but okay.
Show statistics. Okay?
Right, exactly.
Say tens of millions, okay?
Okay.
Tens of millions of evangelicals, but only 80,000 come to the United States. So I always say I don't buy into the numbers that every evangelical loves Israel. And even those who do love Israel, which is only a remnant,
right,
there
wow.
is a difference
Very
between
powerful word.
Prayer and actually a visit. There seems to be a disconnect between the prayer and the visit. And if we truly want to go ahead and build up this relationship, there has to be a way for both of us to work together to actually bring more Christians who pray about Israel to actually visit.
I'm glad you said that, because I put up a cartoon that shows Bibi talking to two Jewish guys. One frame shows in France, and the other, I think, in Germany. And I hate to hear about Israelis who have a German passport. It makes me sick. And then they're saying, Bibi's saying, come home, come home, come home. And they said, God, we're waiting for God. And then at the end, at the third big frame, it shows the two Jewish guys in heaven, and they're like, but we were waiting for God, and God said, I gave you Nefesh B'Nefesh, I gave you Bibi, I gave you all these ways to get here. And I want to relate this to Americans, because, you know, prayer is very powerful. It moves the heart of God. But the balance that many Christians have lost in the United States, I literally, when I was in seminary, I had this girl that was a good friend of mine, and she said she would pray about, and I think it's important. I don't want to discount it. She would say, Michael, I'm praying about which potholder to buy. I'm like, do you need a potholder? Yeah? Well, then just get the thing. What do you have to pray for? You see what's in front of you. You know what your need is. Just thank God you have the ability to purchase it. And that's the same thing that that Americans need to know. First of all, this is God's land. You need to come here and visit one time in your life.
100%. I actually say to Christians all the time, I say, you're willing to pay tens of thousands of dollars for a college education that will give you...
Indoctrinated by leftists.
Will give you a physical means of putting food on the table.
Right.
But you can't spend $4,000 that will give you an appreciation and an understanding of the Bible unprecedented in your entire life.
Right.
That will get it's for eternity. Right? If you believe in this,
Absolutely.
It's for eternity.
Absolutely.
So why wouldn't you spend $4,000 to come here for 7 to 10 days?
And I'll take you to a base and let you give out Hershey's for Heroes to the soldiers. You want an experience that most tours are not able to give you? I'll take you to a base and let you love on these soldiers and hear their gratitude while you send your love. David, folks, this is important stuff in this day and hour in which we live. You want to make an investment that's temporal and eternal? Spend your money in Israel. Listen, brother, this thing's about to bust wide open.
Our prayers to God's ears to people's actions.
Bro, we are... People talk about, Michael, what's going to happen? I'm scared. No, you don't have to be scared. Michael, aren't you scared to be over there? No, I'm not scared to be here. I'm in the best place. I'm on the side. I'm on the right side. The right side ain't the Republicans or the Democrats or whatever, independent, whatever. You want to get on the right side? You get on God's side and you get it here with Israel. You stand with the Jewish state. Forget the politics. Brother, I'm way over that. I am so far over it. You need to get to Israel. David, I got a minute and a half left, brother. First of all, I want you to come back. The stuff that you're saying, I'm going to tell you why. You know about the blood moons. A lot of people are emailing me, asking me about this, the significance of the blood moons, and they are. Folks, I apologize.
It's okay.
Folks, we should be paying attention to the Hebrew calendar, the lunar calendar. That's God's time. It's the heathen and the godless that have changed it. I love it, brother. I love it. We should be paying attention to God's timing. And I don't think we need to take a whole radio show, but I want to sit at another time because we have another Blood Moon coming up. And I want you and I to sit and talk about this and do a video.
Sure, 100%.
Okay. You got one last thing to say? We got about 30 seconds left.
Again, I encourage those who are hearing this radio show that if you are committing yourself to April 23rd to say Psalms 113 to 118, that you share this with other people. And you don't, again, you can do this personally, but you could do this in your church with your prayer fellowship. The important thing is to get the word out about what we're doing, because this is actually something that the Jewish people are already doing, and you're coming aboard with us in our authentic expression of how we do these Psalms. So I look forward to having you sign up on our Psalms commitment page and letting us know that you're going to be going ahead and committing yourselves to reciting Psalms 113 to 118.
And David, we're going to get that promoted. And big time. I think it's important. I love what you're doing. Listen, folks, thank you for listening to the show. Dave, we're going to have you back again. Wow. Bro, we're not going to wait a year. This is Michael Gonneau with Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes. God bless the Patriot Conservatives who stand for the Judeo-Christian founded Constitution and Bill of Rights. And God bless Israel in her fight for sovereignty.